now. So can you restart?
Sure. Good evening. This is the Chelan County Planning Commission meeting for April 28th, 2021. In response to the Governor's Proclamation 20-28, the Planning Commission will hold all of their regular and special meetings via Zoom video conference until further notice. We will start with roll call. Vicki Malloy, here, of course. Ryan?
Here.
Whoever is talking?
Will Wiggs?
Jane, here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Jim Newberry?
Here.
Ed Martinez?
Here.
Joe Walensky?
Here.
Carl Blum?
I'm here.
Aha, he is here.
Sure.
Okay, Pat Hammersmith?
Here.
Doug England?
Here.
Okay, so the next order of business is approving the minutes from our last meeting. Is there any discussion of the minutes? I have discussion. On page 2 of the minutes, under the first motion that's made, it says motion made by Commissioner Ryan Kelso, seconded by Commissioner Joe Walensky to keep geological technical report valid for 3 years instead of 5 years. I went through and listened to the recording. That is not true. It was from the 3 years recommended to 5 years.
That's in there, I'm pretty sure.
Well, yeah, so in the minutes, it was between 45 minutes and 48.33 minutes that we approved for it to be valid for 5 years, not 3 years.
No, I know that, but I thought I read that in there that it was for 5 years. Let me just look again.
If it doesn't reflect that in the minutes, Vicki, we will change that for two reasons. Number one, that's what we recall. And number two, that is, we are already in front of the Board of Commissioners with the CAO, and we've already addressed keeping that at 5 years with the board. So that's
okay. Maybe I have an old draft of the minutes. You know, I don't know.
It could be a mistake on our part. I'm not disputing it.
Okay.
Yeah. To keep the geological technical report. Well, here's what I read, Vicki. I see motion made by Commissioner Kelso, and well, it's to keep the geological technical report valid for 3 years instead of 5 years. That's what I'm reading.
That's what it says, but it's not right. We wanted it to be 5 years. Did the 3 years.
Oh, that's right. We did. I move that we change the basically make a, can we make a motion to do a quick edit on that?
Sure.
Move that we change the minutes to say, to reflect properly 5 years and 3 years to have those two numbers swapped. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, good.
Good catch.
We'll make the correction.
Okay, is there any other comment on the minutes from the last meeting? Okay, I will entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve. This is Doug.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody disapprove? Okay, good. Okay. The next order of business, if I can find my agenda, we're moving on to, is there anybody from the public that has comments for any matters that are not identified on the agenda? Please signify by raising your hand on the computer. You guys see anybody?
No, these are for issues not on the agenda tonight.
Okay, right. Okay, so we'll move on. The next item of business is old business. The Shoreline Master Program, deliberation, recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners for periodic review, limited amendment, ZTA 21069. And with that, now do I ask Catherine to read her recommendation or the staff report?
So Vice Chair Malloy, I'm going to turn over this part of the meeting to Catherine, and I will continue to run the Zoom mechanics on my end.
But okay.
I'm going to work with you directly, and if I'm needed to assist in any questions, I'm happy to do so.
Okay, Catherine, would you like to proceed?
Yes, thank you. Good evening, and tonight this is the Shoreline Master Program periodic review, limited update, where you will be deliberating and then providing a recommendation to the Board of County Commission. So after tonight, then you will, once it goes to the Board of County Commission, they will also conduct a public hearing, and they will be taking written and public comment for that. So the proposed amendments and the joint review, we've been conducting this in coordination with the Department of Ecology. The SMP process began last fall with a public workshop. Excuse me. And that was followed by joint public noticing and a public hearing. So Ecology oversees the process, and the county focuses on consistency with our local plans and codes and on the administration of the plan. So the public comment period concluded on April 17th, and we have provided the Planning Commission with a summary of the comments and responses. A large number of those public comments were centered on the reevaluation of the shoreline buffer widths and on the term replaced related to the non-conforming pre-existing residential structures. There were also some suggested text edits, and in some areas we incorporated those, and others areas we did not recommend them. So in your attachment number 6 of the staff report, that is the version that staff is recommending. We do have with us tonight representatives from Ecology. We have our consultants from Anchor QEA, and Mike Caputa with Natural Resources is hoping to join us shortly, and county staff. So we are happy to assist with your conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Okay. At this point, would you like me to open it up and ask Ecology to make comment, or how do we want to work this? Catherine?
Chairman and Commission, I think we're here to assist with any questions or comments that you have as you consider the plan.
I have a question for you, Catherine. With this process that we've been through and the under this version that we have in, before us today, what is the reasoning behind only having written comment and not allowing the public to actually give us a verbal comment on this version, as well as I'm a bit concerned just in the public input of having a summary versus being able to see what they actually wrote in ourselves.
We did have testimony last month, Ryan.
But with all of these updates? Right,
the version that is before you is the version that we have had out on the website for the past month. So you don't, there isn't really anything that has changed from what we put out there before. And if it was, it was very minor.
Are those the ones that are more or less in blue where it says CC changes, chapter 5.1 has been updated to provide clarity based on feedback? Are those in this particular one and not in the previous one?
No, they were already in the previous version.
I see. Yeah, I did notice that too. I was wondering. I did notice that too, that you had already, all the things that were in blue were already in the ones that were essentially on the March 24th edition as well. There, nothing has changed, right, from the March 24th?
No, not that I can think of.
So, Ryan, does that answer the question, or?
I'm just more concerned in just what public wrote, being that we just have a summary versus what they may have been trying to express.
There was, of course, you know, like in the one, for example, on the remove, there were some, you know, key items. Remember, it's like 100 and some odd comments, right? On it's one. Yeah, exactly. And then the comments of this topic covered in the following general themes on page, what is that, page 13, right? So they do, I think that they did a very good job of basically coalescing those comments that were essentially overlapping and had the same sort of like statement. Is that not true, Catherine?
Yes, that was certainly the approach that we were trying to take, commissioners, is to go, the consultant did a very thorough job of capturing and recording all the comments and then extracting what the key themes and concerns were so that we could provide it to you in a format that would assist you this evening.
Okay, now as I have a question, and this is with regard to the removal of the term replace. And that is found under section 6.2.4. And the reason why I think it's a concern is that on the, before I read that part, let me go over to the next page, which talks about cabanas over water. Now, cabanas over water, residential structures may be repaired, maintained, replaced, and altered, provided the footprint of the overwater structure does not increase, and blah, 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 blah. Well, in this case, we're talking about residential structures that were established, which are now non-conforming with regard to setbacks, buffers, or yards area. Structures may be maintained and repaired. Structures may be enlarged or expanded in height behind laterally, provided there is no increase of nonconformity waterward in the direction of the water, and structures may change class of occupancy when consistent with the zoning district and blah, blah, blah. And I still don't understand why it's being taken out. Why can't we just keep it in? Why is it confusing when you kept it in over here for the cabanas?
Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. So this chapter, this entire section deals with non-conforming. So non-conforming, as you know, is a zoning term that relates both to lots, structures, and uses that were at one time legally established prior to the new regulations, and now they fail to meet the current standards. So the reason we're recommending the removal of the word replaced is because it's confusing and it's inconsistent with our practice and the laws of the rest of the county. So replacement, if you think about it, typically means that you're putting back what was there. And so it would be the same size, the same shape, the same configuration, location, external appearance. And the other concern is that at what point does a structure have to come into compliance? And I think the term replaced has left people thinking that they could completely remove the structure. And this is specifically referring to a home, where it's more, it's a well-settled legal principle that once you remove the home, you don't have anything that's non-conforming anymore. And so that's why we were concerned that having the word replaced here was just confusing.
Okay, along that same line, let me say that the structural restoration and replacement in 6.2.3, it talks about if a structure is damaged or destroyed by accident, act of nature, or public enemy. That is where those are the reasons why when something is destroyed, it can be replaced. So you're covering your basis in that paragraph.
Yes, and we would agree with that.
Yeah, and so consequently, I don't see a reason to take out, to take replaced out, because it's really misleading to me because it doesn't reference that situation.
And you see, I went and asked a bunch of folks, you know, we had a lot of comment on it over here at Lake Wenatchee. I think a majority of it came, was seeded from here. And I did ask for essentially scenarios that they could basically put forward that they were concerned about and whether or not basically removing this word made a difference. Crickets is all I heard, crickets. So if you can come up with a scenario where you think taking out the word replaced will affect the outcome, I'd like to hear it. And I'd like to see essentially what would be the outcome from the directors that would basically be making this particular choice. What's a scenario, a real life scenario that you can come up with where you think the word taking out the word replaced is going to affect the outcome?
Okay, so what happens is we have a structure that has burned to the ground.
That's already covered, 6.23.
Okay, by accident, but that's saying restore, okay. So because that's referenced up there, the rebuilt is referenced up there, it doesn't need to be referenced down below. Is that the thinking then?
I believe that this was originally broken into two parts back in, started out like in 2010 with some changes in the GMA. And then in 2019, in the county, we adopted 6.2.4B and we buffered it up to help clarify what was done back in 2010, originally in the GMA. And some of you may have been part of that and others may not, but this was to allow for structures, as long as they had no impact footprint increase, they could be torn down and replaced within that same footprint, being that there is no ecological impact or no net loss occurring within that same footprint of area. And I am 100% for keeping that there just to help protect that as we continue to go through, and who knows who's going to be in the future interpreting this. I am 100% plus in favor of keeping the word replaced.
What's your scenario, Ryan?
The objective in the past and—
No, what would be, let's say, a real life scenario where you think taking out the word replaced would adversely affect the outcome?
It would be say you've got an old structure that is deteriorating and it needs to be replaced in whole because it's no longer safe to inhabit. Therefore, you're tearing down the structure and building new foundation. A lot of these are built on cobble walls and old packed materials from in the past and stuff. And so where we were finding this is, you would have these places that were deteriorating and they needed to be improved. And the way to improve them correctly is basically removing the structure completely and replacing the structure once again in its place.
So that's you're talking about maintaining and repairing a structure.
No, because you're tearing it down because you're putting, there's nothing there. You're putting a whole new foundation in place and building everything vertically
on a non-conforming structure. But yeah. Code, like for example, when you build it up, let's say you bring down a 1940s house that basically has bare wires exposed, right? Well, since it was built in the 20s, it's fine, right? Until you sell it or you do something else, then basically you have to repair it, right? Or you have to basically now be conforming to code. How is that any different?
you don't have to conform to code unless you alter anything you touch has to be updated. Anything you do not touch does not have to be updated.
But so, but for this, it doesn't matter for this, you're saying? It matters for code, but it doesn't matter for this?
This is ecologically, you are making no further impact environmentally harming anything. So you're replacing within the exact same space in which you inhabited previously.
What would be the comment from, let's say, for example, from staff regarding Ryan's example that someone wanted to basically update their non-conforming structure to the most most up-to-date sort of safe building codes? How would the county reply to that request?
Thank you, commissioners, for the questions. If I may respond. So the scenario of somebody completely rebuilding a structure, yes, they would need to comply with the building codes in place. And anywhere else in the county, if you take down the entire, if you completely remove what's non-conforming, you would be and rebuild. That is the trigger of when you need to comply with all of our requirements. So that would be county code, development code, and also the Shoreline Master Program. So the replaced, this particular section right now says it may be replaced, enlarged, or expanded as long as you don't get more non-conforming towards the water. So it doesn't necessarily refer to within the same building footprint, but I think it is more focused on somebody who's remodeling a piece of a home, and they're also making an addition or they're going up in height. There's something still there that's non-conforming that they can expand or improve upon, but once it's completely gone, we're just concerned that the word replaced, and to Commissioner Kelso's comments, they desire to take the entire thing down because of the condition it's in.
Madam Chair, may I put one additional fine point on that?
Please.
Additional points of consideration are if the intent of the SMP as currently written was that you could take it down with under any circumstance and rebuild on the footprint, you don't need the provision in 6.23 about some unanticipated removal, because you wouldn't need that. You would just say under any circumstances it could be replaced. So that creates a conflict. And secondarily, elsewhere within the SMP, it refers to more restrictive codes. If there are more restrictive county or state ordinances, then the more restrictive ordinance essentially prevails. And county ordinance 11.97.015 is the non-conforming ordinance, which is what Ms. Lorbeer is referring to with regard to the other statutes that say when you take it down, you lose the non-conformance. So we're trying to bring about alignment between the SMP and that code, as well as calling out the disparity because of the section up above, which lends itself to why you would need that if that wasn't the intent.
Matt, Vicki, can I ask staff a question?
Please.
So I just want to try and clarify this a little bit, if you don't mind. If I have right now, under the current SMP and current county codes, if my home is non-conforming regarding the SMP and I want to take it down to the foundation and then rebuild it, will I be permitted to do that?
Commissioners, if I may, if we apply both the county code requirements and the SMP requirements, if you are planning to completely remove it, demolish it, you would need to come into compliance with both the buffer requirements in the SMP and any requirements of county code.
And is that in the current county code somewhere, even though currently the SMP says it could be replaced?
Yes, the current county code deals with nonconformity almost exactly, very similar to the way it reads in here, except for this provision with structures may be replaced under 6.2.4. And that's where that's why we're bringing it to your attention, is because there's this inconsistency.
I see.
Whatever the Planning Commission chooses to do, you can forward your recommendation onward to the board.
So I'm just trying to figure out where I could go in the code and see that with the current SMP, I would still have to conform to the SMP, even though it says the structure can be replaced as long as it's not any more nonconforming. To me, I'm confused by your statement and then what I read in the code.
Okay, do you think that perhaps the word replaced in that particular paragraph is misplaced? Because what it's doing is it's saying that the structure can be replaced, enlarged and expanded or expanded, and it's misleading for it to be there. Whereas it's referenced in section 6.2.3 that if by accident, act of nature, or public enemy. Or should we add something there that says, or is unsuitable to be occupied as a reason for it to be destroyed? And then that will cover all of our bases.
They do say, alternatively, the term remodel could be inserted in place of the term replace. Would remodel work better?
I'm strongly going to stick behind keeping that the way it is. This is continuing to take people's rights of land and stuff in which they have. And I am extremely for people's property rights and what they have established in those areas.
This is Jim. Jim Newberry. I'd like to speak to this.
You may.
I agree with Ryan. And what we've seen in the past is it gets pretty ludicrous to perhaps leave one wall up and rebuild the rest of the structure just so you can say you haven't torn the whole thing down. We've seen stuff like that happen precisely because of that.
It is the term remodel defined in our county code?
If I may, it's not defined in our county code, but we do have a recent hearing examiner decision which has provided definitions of both the terms reconstruct and remodel, which we rely on.
But that could change. That could change, right? New people, new interpretations. Is that correct?
Chairman and Commissioner Blum, the code is always is subject to change over time, and that's why we go through such a thorough process like this to discuss. But
we're not talking about code here. We're talking about a hearing examiner's decision, and you're using that interpretation.
Yes, and that is just simply until we can update the code, which is on our docket this year that we will be bringing forward. So it's kind of an in-between time.
So in my 20 plus years of dealing with and working with the county in the various departments and changes that have happened and likely will continue happening at some time. I am going to make a motion that the word replaced continue and stay intact under 6.24 pre-existing residential structures, item B. I'd like to make that a motion.
Okay. Jim Newberry, I'll second it.
Okay.
Discussion?
Okay, I just want to make sure that there isn't an alternative way that we can include that. So instead of having B, BB, make that C and then D and then E, and then do an item B that says structures may be remodeled, restructured, replaced, and structures may be enlarged. Okay, so does that fit what you want to do? So you have those items there and it's separate from the enlargement and expanding, which I think is what the contention is about it being confusing.
I believe the enlargement and an extension has always been in view that continue as long as it stays landward of the setback location of wherever that is. The replaced is to stay intact to keep what is of non-conforming to be able to be rebuilt in that location.
That's why I'm saying separate it out. So it's a different topic. Am I not making sense? Catherine, did that make sense to you?
Madam Chair, I think you have the A talking about maintenance and repair, and maybe that's why we suggested maybe the word remodel, but I don't necessarily think you need to separate it out from B.
Okay.
This is Jim again. I need to get this straight. Replace was removed. Is that correct?
It was removed in the draft, and I'm asking that it be put back in to the draft so that people
correct. So
place.
So it definitely was removed. It's not like a discussion otherwise. And you just caught that, correct?
Correct. What's being presented, it's being asked to be removed, and I'm asking that it be put back in.
Are we having a discussion on this, or?
That's what we've been doing.
Okay, it's just a formality of it all. Ryan, the example you put forward is still going to have to be brought back into conforming. Am I wrong about that? Carl asked specifically for Catherine if this word was in or out under the current existing system. If this word, which is the word is in, anything taken off completely down to bare bones will have to come back to shape as conforming. And this is really just a technicality as far as basically taking it out to be consistent with other areas.
It's not consistent.
No, that's not right.
Yeah.
But no, that's what Catherine said.
Conforming in the SMP is different than conforming in the building code.
Carl asked specifically if basically they brought it down, and Catherine's response was yes, they would have to come back into compliance and be conforming. That's what she said.
Then why are cabanas allowed to be destroyed? And they can be replaced and altered provided the footprint is the same. And this is all under non-conforming structures.
I'm not sure. I'm just saying that that's what Catherine's response was.
Well, if this isn't an issue, why was that removed? You seem to think that it's covered elsewhere and that it's not an issue, but Ryan and myself are contending that it is an issue, and removing a word, that word being replaced, is bigger than just anything else than a quotation mark or something. It's specific to allow non-conforming structures to be removed, essentially.
Can I let me ask staff a question, if you don't mind, again? So I think what I heard, Catherine, you say is that if you took right now under the current SMP and county code, if we took a structure down to the foundation that was non-conforming regarding the SMP, that you would require it to conform with the SMP before issuing a new building permit. So if I am correct, then my next question is, have we in the recent past, let's say since 2019, have we issued building permits to non-conforming structures that were taken down to the foundation and then rebuilt on the same foundation without any more non-conforming regarding the SMP?
Commissioners, Carl, I'm not quite sure I understood the very last part that you described, but yes, I would suspect that there are certainly examples of where we have issued building permits.
With exceptions, I know of a few.
And I think I know of a few as well that have been issued building permits. So,
but with exception, Carl.
Huh?
With exception. They were basically exceptions to it. The director basically gave them a permit, a CUP, or not a CUP, but it was given an exception.
Mm. Well, they may have received a variance.
A variance, I'm sorry. That's right.
Go through in not every case, but in some cases you can apply for a variance. The examiner can grant a variance to the setback.
Okay. So,
are we saying that the way that was written was incorrect when it said replace?
It's a good way to word it. Yeah.
I think currently that individuals that have taken their buildings down and decide to rebuild on the same footprint have been allowed to do so. But it appears that the powers that be really want to restrict that and not allow people to tear their places down and rebuild, but only if it's caused by an accident or an act of nature or public enemy. That's the only conditions that they want to be able to allow you to rebuild. Is that correct?
No, I don't think that's a correct characterization, Chair. We want clarity in the code. That's what we want. The Planning Commission and the Board of Commissioners make policy as to what the code is. And what we've outlined for you today is the inconsistencies that the code verbiage creates. It's inconsistency with current coding for other non-conformances in the county, and the reference in the SMP that makes reference to more restrictive county codes, essentially superseding those sections of the SMP where they're in conflict. And we're asking for the conflict resolved. Whatever the outcome is that the Planning Commission recommends and whatever the Board of Commissioners recommend, we request that it be clear for us to be able to implement and that for generations of additional administrators beyond me, that this is no longer an issue.
I know that this has been used because I've got two in front of me, two Shoreline administrative determination requests that were filed, and both of them were approved in 2020, one in May and one in June. and then building permits were filed afterwards, and those structures were built under this by using that determination.
Well, there are occasions where SADs or shoreline administrative determinations have resulted in permitted projects to go forward, but each one of those is on its own fact pattern, its own lot, its own set of issues. And I can't speak to, I'm not disputing you at all, Ryan, other than to say without looking at those individually and comparing them to any other, I can't say what the basis of the decision was. All I'm telling you is this is a frequent occurrence with many sections in our code where we hear that certain things were applied a certain way. And then when we try to examine the code and come to the proper outcome that the code expects, we don't necessarily understand and can't come up with the logic why a prior decision was made.
Yeah, and that's been my
three datas.
Challenges over the years where different administrators have made different determinations dealing with the same code in viewing it differently.
And where you have a code such as what we're dealing with today, that lends itself to that scenario. That's why we're trying to get the correction so that we have it crystal clear. If we want it to say you may tear down your house under any circumstance and rebuild it on the same footprint, as long as you don't go forward, everybody just understands what I just said right there. It doesn't say that. And so it creates the scenario that you refer to where subsequent administrators come to different conclusions based on the totality of what's in various parts of the code.
Then I'd like to amend my motion to state that structures located, let's see, it would be item B. Structures may be entirely replaced so long as the footprint does not exceed the existing footprint of the non-conforming where located
and where else in the SMP are you going to change so that it's consistent throughout? Because apparently this word is taken out to be consistent with other areas in the SMP. Have you looked at other areas in the SMP where that also needs to change?
Well, this is dealing with residential structures is the primary element of it. And I know that there was one years ago where the it was up the Tumwater Canyon where the candy factory burned down and it went through that same process and it was rebuilt and stuff. And that was kind of part of that other option and where something outside of their scope caused the problem, but then they were able to rebuild within that place.
Well, that is what is already in this particular 6.2.3.
Yeah, it's what it's already in. And I know that I've had structures that I've been able to redo in the past with that same language. And I know in discussing with other consultants, they have too.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah,
This is within shoreline. But if we're not talking about shoreline, But if my house is non-conforming, if I choose to tear it completely down, I'm not allowed to rebuild it. But we're saying that within the shoreline, if your house is, if I tear my house completely down, I am allowed to rebuild it. Is that correct, the way without with that word in there?
Yes, with the shoreline's statement that when you're dealing with shorelines, you're creating no net negative impact.
Well, there's lots of situations throughout the county. I can think of houses that encroach on the county right away that have come down completely, and then they have to do the new setback because they tore everything down and they're not allowed to put it back without setting it back.
Yeah, I've recently worked with one of those.
Why are we more lenient in a shoreline than we are in the rest of the area?
So county code conflicts with this.
That is correct, Chair. And that is fundamentally the point. The department's position is that nonconformity is nonconformity. And so if under 1197.015, the general nonconformity statute, you're not allowed to do as Commissioner England just stated, it is a head scratcher for us why under the shoreline scenario you would be. Given the other things we've already said about inconsistencies that we read in that code. And so that's why we're raising it as a policy matter, because it is inconsistent between the two. And we have talked with ecology about this. Ecology's concern is the environmental issue. So it's not an issue from an SMP standpoint, meaning you can't have nonconformities or nonconformities go away under the SMP. This is a county policy issue for the application of this within the SMP. The shoreline values are being maintained while a nonconformity continues. So this really comes down to consistency with the rest of the code.
So with
that, what was that chapter again that you just quoted us?
I'm hoping I got it right, because I'm a lot, 11.97.015.
Okay.
I just have one question. At what point does an item become legally nonconforming? I know that if something is not found to be nonconforming, or let's say, for example, in case law, a legal statute, a statute of limitations expire after 7 years. So if something is built, let's say, nonconforming, is not found out, is it after 7 years it becomes legally nonconforming?
Chairman and commissioners, if I may, the term nonconforming means that it was legal at one time. At one point in time, the structure, for example, was built, and it was built legally, but the regulations changed, and so now it does not conform technically to the current regulations.
Okay, so if there is no statute of limitations for building structures, then if you built it nonconforming, when it was essentially nonconforming, it's forever nonconforming. Okay, I got it. Thank you for that point. That's a different side issue.
Down, you have to rebuild it within 3 years, or you lose the ability to rebuild under the nonconforming statute.
Right, that's understood.
Okay.
So you can replace it within 3 years. If an example being on the shore of Lake Chelan after the catastrophic fires and all the houses that were lost were allowed to be rebuilt, even though they were non-conforming because they were lost by fire.
That's correct. You know of at least one case where it was not rebuilt within the 3 years and they lost their non-conforming ability, and it was an unbuildable lot.
But non-conformity it's not like it's a disease that somehow you have to wear a scarlet letter on your chest because you live in a non-conforming house. They were allowed to rebuild those houses that were destroyed by fire.
They would have had to have been rebuilt to the current international residential code, you know, for safety and all of those issues, but they could be rebuilt on the same footprint as provided for in the SMP. That's that section 6.23.
And so if someone has a structure that is essentially rotted in place, it can't be replaced?
It can be repaired. And there's provisions in the SMP that in that same section, and I believe there's another section below that that deals with repairing. You can repair those things. So if you had rotted beams or you had rotted sills on the foundation, you could, you know, lift the walls and put new sills on it. Termite damage, whatever the issue is, you can deal with that. You just can't take it all away and rebuild.
Okay.
So essentially all we're doing is making it more difficult for an owner to renew their property. We're forcing them to do it stud by stud or wall by wall or whatever it is, instead of the easier fix of replacing it.
Just to be clear, with or without that word in there, that's already the case.
Okay.
Can I bring up that, first of all, Jim, you are correct. It is 11.97.015. And it seems to me that that particular chapter is inconsistent in and of itself. So there's a lot of inconsistencies here, because it says, and I hope you don't mind me quoting, no structure or part of a structure shall be erected, moved, reconstructed, extended, enlarged, remodeled, repaired, or altered except in conformity with all current Chelan County development regulations, except as permitted in this chapter. And then the second paragraph says, remodeling, alterations, or repairs to a non-conforming structure may occur so long as the construction is compliant with current building codes. So
I don't actually think that's inconsistent.
It's not.
It isn't. So the first one says remodeled. It has to follow all the county development regulations in this. And the second one says it can be remodeled as long as it follows the building codes.
Right, Carl. But the thing is that it doesn't mention whether it's conforming or non-conforming. Just any changes you make to a structure, you're going to have to get a permit and you're going to have to follow what the current building codes are.
It's under the chapter of non-conforming structure. So I guess I made the assumption that it meant non-conforming structures.
Okay. So that doesn't have anything to do with, that's an assumption. That's we've got this issue and then we've got that issue, and that adds to what the person has to think about. But it doesn't have an impact on this. In that the only thing the county's trying to prevent us from doing is tearing down a structure just for the sake of tearing it down and rebuilding it brand new on that footprint. It has to be done in accordance with an accident, act of nature, or public enemy in order for it to be able to be rebuilt.
But I think that's exactly what the issue is, as far as the comments were concerned, that mm-hmm. now you have non-conforming structures inside of the buffer zone of the shoreline management program. And now you have to, basically, you're not going to be able to sell your home and have somebody come in and remodel it or replace it without conforming to all of the buffer zones.
I don't believe that's true, Carl. Jim, will you please comment?
I thought I just heard that.
I'm going to let Catherine answer that.
Catherine?
Thank you, commissioners. So remodeling, repairing, those are allowed. It's just that threshold of when you completely take the entire structure down, that's at some point the anticipation is that the site will be brought into conformance with today's codes.
But not rebuilt in a different location.
So
in other words, if they sell that house, the people that buy it can remodel where it's located. It has to be brought up to code, but not necessarily set back.
If they're remodeling, that's correct.
So I've been through this many, many times with many different directors, and several have said you keep one wall. So we keep one wall, and you know, everybody's gonna work around this stuff no matter what. Doesn't matter who it is, everybody's gonna work their angle to make it work out. And so you keep the one wall, then they build and they do all this stuff, and then later they tear down that one wall and then they build the rest of it. So whether you want to work around the minutia of all the ins and outs of it, and people will do that, or you just do it and be in and out, you're gonna have less impact on the environment, which is what we're trying to salvage in this case here. And if you're making no more net impact, and that's what the whole SMP is about, is making no more net impact to the environment there, it doesn't matter if they tear it down, in my opinion, or if they rebuild it piece by piece over time. In the end, they still get the same thing. But why not do it in such a manner that somebody can just get it done and do it somewhat affordably? Because if you stretch it over time, it's just going to cost more money. But either way, in the end, there is no more net impact in either direction.
Ryan, what you're asking for is greater than this word. Like you just stated, basically, you have been in scenarios where they had to keep up one wall, and that word was there, replaced.
This is where I'm getting at. Different administrators have done different things throughout the years.
And if I may, that's why we have a text amendment proposal to clarify the remodel issue in the upcoming text amendment process later this summer.
Okay.
I understand that we have a motion on the floor with a second. And we've had discussion. Are we going to vote on it?
Could you please clarify the motion again for us, please?
The original motion was
the original motion was to put the word replace back in. Correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. So should I read it back then? Under section 6.2.4, pre-existing residential structures, item B, structures may be replaced. We want to keep the word replaced in this paragraph. Enlarged or expanded, etc. Is that clear enough?
Commissioners, if I may, there was an amendment to that motion, but I don't think anybody seconded it. So
no, there was no second to it.
Okay, so we're just going back to the original. Thank you.
Okay, was that clear? If so, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Nay.
Aye.
Three of them. Pat, Doug, and Ed.
Does that count accurate, commissioners? Does anybody
feel like I didn't vote. I would like to see, okay,
Aye.
Okay. Aye for what?
Aye for keeping the word replaced in there.
I see. Vicki, could you read out the results of the vote count, please, just for clarity?
Okay. So we had 3 votes against. And how many votes for?
5, I think. Participants.
Okay. 1, 2. Well, anyway, 5 votes for.
Hey,
5 votes for.
Newberry, Kelso, who else?
Wiggs.
Okay, Newberry, Wiggs, Malloy,
Blum,
Kelso, and Blum.
5.
Joel. Vicki.
Yes.
I think Joel as well.
Oh, Joel was a for it. Okay, so the motion passes. Just a footnote to this whole thing is the Planning Commission's purpose or intention by keeping the word replaced in there was not to go against what the recommendation was, but instead to preserve the property rights of the individuals living in Chelan County. And not further restrict them. I think it's going to be important at some point in time, though, to find some kind of clarity so that we can have both the county codes and the SMP in line with each other. But this was not the word to do it with, in our opinion. Am I correct, you guys?
I agree.
Okay.
I'm concerned about one thing, though, that uh-huh. Even though we recommend that word be kept in there, I still heard that the staff say that they're not going to allow people to replace their homes. So based on other county code. So I don't know if that's something that we should address or just make a note of it and move on.
That was my point exactly, is that it's not necessarily that I'm for or against it. I'm just saying that this is trying to be consistent with other county code so that there's clarity. And so
how is that,
leaving it in there will not change a thing.
Maybe the other elements of the codes need to be updated to conform
exactly.
to this.
Exactly.
Well, I think it can that's going to mean that fires and natural hazards are also inconsistent. Replacement
could be. Okay. I'm not sure about that one.
Well, that's a good question. If you can replace it a non-conforming home regarding the SMP because it's destroyed by fire, isn't that inconsistent with that 11.97? Or no, I guess it isn't. I think it said that you could do that. Okay.
Chair, it looks like Commissioner England has his hand up.
Go ahead, Commissioner England.
I may have to unmute you, Doug, just a second.
Doug?
Okay, I'm unmuted now. Okay. My concern is that we're talking about something as far as the ecology, but we have a number of situations, and I will just pick one here in Manson, where a house is literally sticks out into the road. And if we go back and try to make the whole thing consistent, there's more than just what we're looking at here to make something non-conforming. And if we spend all this time, whether it's safety, life issues throughout the county, or in this case, ecology, if we've done all our work and decided that the goal is to abide by what the current standard is, why are we still allow? I don't understand why we want to still allow something to stay non-conforming in that case. I mean, it's been there and we've gone through number of procedures of why we won't let anybody new do that. So why do we let someone that wants to completely take it all the way down and through just because they want to change something? And that's my concern, and it's not going to get solved here. It's going to have to be code-wide, because if we're saying that you can, by the way, you can do it in a shoreline because we're not worried about the ecology of it. We just agreed that we needed to have, but we're going to go ahead and ignore it for safety and life, safety and life issues throughout the rest of the county. And so we're kind of picking and choosing what issues we think non-conforming is important to correct and where non-conforming should be just allowed to go.
Well, I think when it comes down to life and safety issues, that's a different issue altogether. The reason why these things became non-conforming is because the rules around them changed, and that's what made them non-conforming.
The same thing goes for what Doug just said about the house built on the side of the road.
Right, right. Okay. That's right, sticking out into the road. But that's a health and safety issue. That's
completely different. Yes, but that is also, if that's actually a case, that is obviously the road has been redone or something. And whoever built it in the first place, it's not on them unless the county wants to buy it and move it back. Which is similar to what they did when they built the dams. So if people are feeling so oppressed for the environment with these non-conforming homes close to the water that were built properly in the proper time, then they need to buy them and take them out. To use politics to try to take away people's rights is something that we're trying to stop.
Any further comment?
I'm just saying, the basic nature of not believing in the SMP kind of like makes it irrelevant by that statement. You're just saying that, if I'm correct, right, that everything in the SMP really doesn't matter and all it's doing is infringing on people's rights.
You know as well as I do that there's politics involved, the same way that there were politics involved when the whole community was taken out by a wildfire and an exception was made to let them put it back because of political pressure. There was pressure both ways. A lot of people who would just as soon not have any homes on Lake Chelan were pushing to not let those people rebuild.
Okay. Catherine, had you finished your presentation for the shoreline management plan?
Yes. Where the team is ready to answer any questions, additional questions you may have. Otherwise, we would recommend that you make a motion to send this forward to the county commissioners.
Okay, commissioners, are there any further questions?
I have plenty of comments. Do you mind if I just go through some of them and then just see if there's any ones that are really important? I'm sorry, but I did read all of it. So if I took the time to read 230 or 172 pages, let me see if any of the comments. Who's the current shoreline administrator?
Jim,
okay. Why are we in page planning commission draft? Let me see here. This is page 51. And again, my comments are in the previous one, but it, like you said, it probably doesn't matter. But page 51 of the actual exhibit C, it says something like to the effect that one view corridor limited to 25% of the width of the lot frontage, or, and it went from 25 to 20. Why was it reduced to 20 feet?
Chairman and commissioners, we do have a point of clarification there. That was being proposed in order to be consistent with the critical areas ordinance.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. That's,
that hasn't been adopted yet. So that will be considered next week by the county commissioners. So there may be an adjustment to that number. And it may do the reverse, where the CAO will be made consistent with the SMP, and it'll stay at 25.
Okay, thank you. Regarding pools, there's a long explanation about the discharge. What you have to do to chemically treated water shall be disposed in a manner that does not flow off into impact native riparian, blah, blah. It's a very long thing. But my question is, does this include hot tubs and jacuzzis? At what is a pool? How many gallons is a pool?
Chairman and commissioners, it's my understanding that those outdoor, whether it's a small hot tub or that the chlorinated water, for example, just needs to be disposed of in a proper manner.
Okay, so it does include, and then I think that the other one is the new foldable docks that are being used to access boat lifts, et cetera. Do they fall under the same category and require permits? Not permanent docks, but they're like foldable, you know?
Foldable docks, do they have a structure that would be placed below the ordinary high water mark?
Yeah, it goes out to their boat lifts is what it does.
Well, yeah, then it would need
a permit. Okay, that's interesting.
It would be the permit for the structure that it will fold out to.
Right, but it would still be within the shoreline buffer, so it would fall under the jurisdiction of the SMP and require a shoreline development permit.
This supports repairing non-conforming structures. So yeah, I had the same question that Vicky had regarding cabanas. And I think that was answered. I did see the contradiction in the two terms. And I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I have one question. You kind of brought it up earlier, Vicky, but that is, what is the definition of a cabana?
Alex,
or what are we using?
Well, there's several things included in that paragraph. What it says is cabanas, overwater residential structures. They may be repaired, maintained, replaced, and altered, provided that the footprint of the overwater structure does not increase.
And I'm assuming based on the rest of this, number D there, I would interpret that to say that, you know, cabanas are overwater structures, like completely overwater. So as this would say, they would not be allowed to be expanded.
Would not be allowed to be what?
Expanded.
So if the cabana, if the fabric of the cabana that's over the water were to rip and need to be replaced, it could be replaced as long as it doesn't increase the footprint over the water.
But now you said the fabric of a cabana. So you're assuming a cabana is made of fabric?
No, I'm just describing what a cabana is a shade structure. But it might be made of fabric, it might be made of wood that has deteriorated.
I guess that's my point. what you just described was not what I thought a cabana was.
But it also, in that same paragraph, says over water residential structures.
D applies to over water structures, and it's just giving you descriptions of the type of things that might be over water structures that are non-conforming.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that that would be more of a hazard to our environment by rebuilding something that's directly over the water than it would be a residence that is in a non-conforming place on land. For me, it continues to be a complete contradiction of what's being said in paragraph B, if the replaced was not there.
Right.
So, but for overwater structures, like if you're repairing them, typically means like if they're on piers, repairing piers, you can't just repair it. You would have to, part of pier repair is replacing it. And so that's why overwater structures that are on piers would be allowed to be replaced, because you can't repair a pier, you can replace it. That's what, per even the WAC, that's how it's viewed as a repair is a replace.
Are the changes you're requesting, Vicki, or the things you're commenting on, anything that has changed in this particular document? Because if not, you're going to open up the floodgates.
Well, anything. It does add in the footprint of the overwater structure, which just clarifies that that's not a problem. I'm just comparing D to B in the conflict, or the where it doesn't follow suit with the other. In one case, it's okay to rebuild, in the other case, it's not okay to rebuild.
Yeah, I'm just saying that if you're going to open up the floodgates regarding making comments on things that that are not in the changes of this thing, then I think that's...
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Okay. So are there any further comments? This is my first time sharing.
Joel has one.
I think you're about there. I wanted to touch on the 25-foot view corridor, because Catherine MP, I'm doing the critical areas ordinance that went in front of you. So we are trying to align this 25-20-foot issue so that it's the same through both. So just so you know, the county commissioners have raised that issue. And so that's the other half of the answer that Catherine was giving you, that we are addressing that issue with the board.
What is the number you're pushing for then, I guess, with that? Because I know Douglas County currently, theirs is a 10 foot per property owner, and they're now pushing to move it down to 5.
Well, I think the proposal was to keep SMP at 25 and EAO be at 25 as well.
So that's increasing what it is from now, currently then?
It's recognizing, I believe, that the current SMP is 25 and taking up the CAO up to 25 to match, rather than have the SMP come down to match the current 20 in the CAO.
Too bad. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, Joel's.
Joel?
I think he's muted.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I was just trying to unmute. I've been trying to unmute a couple of for a little while, but I don't really have a specific question. I think they've all been covered. I just appreciate being unmuted at this point in time. Thank you.
Okay.
Jump up and down and wave a lot, and I'll see you, Joel.
Okay. Are we ready to make a motion? Okay. Well, the suggested motion is as follows, only we'll have an exception to it. I move to recommend approval of the Shoreline Master Program Periodic Review Limited.
Point of order, Carl, is the chair allowed to make motions?
I think she's just reading it. I understood she was just reading the.
I see.
Oh, okay.
She's not making the motion.
I will not move. I'm just going to say this is what you will be moving for. I apologize. Thank you for the clarification. Okay, move to recommend approval of the Shoreline Master Program Periodic Review Limited Text Amendment to address updates to state law, inconsistencies, administrative provisions, and other limited amendments, except as found under 6.2.4, pre-existing residential structures, item B, structures may be replaced, enlarged, or expanded, keeping the wording in replaced, given the number TZTA21-069, based upon the findings of fact and conclusions of law contained within the April 28th, 2021 staff report. Would anyone like to make that motion or move?
I so move with what Vicky just said.
Is there a second?
I will second. This is Doug.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Well, it was unanimously approved, the motion as read. Okay. So is there any other discussion you guys would like to have as we meet once a month as a planning commission?
Okay. Carl, can you give us an update on the rental code?
I hope Jim chimes in here as well, but the task force came to conclusions over the questions that were asked of them by the county commissioners. They ultimately did it by a vote, and then agreed to make the statement that they all agreed with the final results. Jim and Mike Nash, I think, are writing up what came out of the task force, and we'll be presenting it by May 1st to the commissioners. And I don't think any information will be released until then. But Jim, chime in here if I'm said anything wrong.
I only got the date wrong, Carl. It's Friday, May 7th, close of business.
Oh, May 7th. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so once that's occurred, then our intent is the following Tuesday, I think that's the 11th, is to, during our normal 10 a.m. session, meet with the Board of Commissioners. They'll have had the report for a few days and receive instruction for them, which I anticipate to be based on individual statements they've made to me, to adopt in whole or in part those recommendations and give us direction to draft them into the existing draft code. And then we would have a workshop or two. And then the public would be afforded an opportunity for written comments as well as testimony being taken in a hearing for the draft before some adoption targeted for about July as anticipated.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we are already in the process of attempting to hire the STR permit technician that will be responsible for doing the permitting the lead person anyway for doing the permitting for the new permit process that will come with that. So we're already starting to ramp up within the department in anticipation of the code being adopted.
Jim, can I ask you if there's any been any discussion about hiring someone like Coast Compliance to go forward?
Only at a high level with individual commissioners. It is within my budget. I've got money set aside for that. A former Commissioner England was part of my budget development, and so money was set aside in professional services contracting for that, among other things. So yes, we're having the conversation, but I'm trying to focus right now on getting the code adopted and the at least the bones of a program stood up so we can start processing that.
Okay, thank you very much.
And where how about right? enforcement? How's that coming?
Doug had a question as well.
Well, that's the same as Vicky's. Where are we with code enforcement?
So code enforcement had three people hired, one person backed out. The two of the officers have been put on. They're nearing completion on their sheriff's office training. I am working on the final stages of the draft code enforcement policy and procedures for further editing from the sheriff, as well as I started working on the training syllabus today. I have a training plan in my head. Got material scattered on my desk, so I'm pulling it together into a syllabus and hope to start training them within a week and a half or two. But you can tell from all of this, all the other stuff I've got going at the same time. I'm moving that direction, but the bodies are on, they're in uniform, they're in trucks, they're serving civil papers, if not now, very soon. So at least a portion of their job they're starting to work on. So we're headed down that way. We're in the right direction.
What decision was made as far as their working hours?
I don't know that that issue has been resolved with the sheriff. There's a union contractual issue, but we also believe that there will be money available for overtime, and we just haven't finished that conversation. The sheriff has a value to figure out how to get code enforcement either after hours or on weekends. And then I've brought up the idea you brought up, I believe, Doug, when you were still chair of the commission, about hiring a technician type individual that could be just driving around, not making code enforcement contacts, but being essentially a monitor, hall monitor, and being able to report to us where we've got problems so that we can focus activity. That is part of my planning for the upcoming budget cycle, to have a like a seasonal tech type position for that. Kind of taking a proactive approach, and if the problem STRs know that there's a tech that's running around in the neighborhoods, not necessarily going to be because they're not a code enforcement person, but is monitoring, observing cars spilling out into the street, beer cans being tossed in the road, those types of things, to help us not only then reach out to the property owner and try to stop it that way, but then also where it's non-responsive, direct code enforcement. So hopefully take a little bit of the burden off the neighbors to have to essentially solely be the source of information for reporting these, that there would be a little bit more of a proactive element. But we can't put a code enforcement officer doing nothing but that, at least until such time as we know what the budget would be from the permitting fees and all that. I'm not saying we couldn't get there in the future, but it's going to be a stepwise approach.
It seems like
you put a lot of thought into it. Good job.
I would just say that sounds like a good approach.
Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah. Right now it's all words though, until the rubber meets the road. I'm just trying to get rubbers on the road.
Right. Okay, any further discussion? Well, would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone want to stay?
Can you repeat the date of the next one, next meeting, please, so I can put it on my calendar?
Sure. The date of the next meeting is May 26th at 7 p.m. via Zoom.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Bye, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Catherine and Jim. And I forgot the other guy's name.
Alex. Mike Caputa.
Night, John, boy.
Alex. Yeah. Anyway, thank you all for all your input. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. Nice evening.
Good night.